lords of this manor without complaint. But what use would it be to complain to these animals? It would just mark her as a malcontent, another mouth to be silenced, another victim to be punished. She glanced across the hall at the three other women serving these brutes. Stout Osgith laid meat in their trenchers, her jaw set as though it were the grimmest of duties. Begilda ensured their tankards were full as she forced her smile, taking every lascivious jest as though it were the sweetest compliment. Nearest was young Winfrith, tears in her eyes as one of the Franks tugged on her skirts, eager for her to sit upon his lap. The knight was insistent, despite her obvious discomfort. All three had suffered enough, but she would need just a little more time before the entertainment began. Just a few more moments of suffering before these men were far enough into their cups for her to act. She moved to Winfrith's side, grasping the girl's arm and pulling her clear of the amorous knight. "Apologies, my lord," she said to the drunken sot, before pressing her empty jug into Winfrith's hand and taking the half-full one from the girl's grip. She fixed Winfrith with a determined look. "Dry your eyes and fetch more ale. And while you're there, see to the hounds." Winfrith nodded obediently before scurrying off to do as she was bid. A sudden cheer went up as one of the knights slid back his chair and raised a flagon to the rafters. "We have been remiss," he announced in the language of the Franks, a language she knew well, though now she wished she had never been cursed to hear it. "We sit in this hall, our bellies full, and not one of us has yet offered thanks to the man who granted us this hospitality." That brought smirks of delight from the dozen others around the feasting table. "A toast to the former master of this estate, to Lord Eskil." The men cheered and some laughed as they stood on unsteady feet, their flagons raised towards the crossbeam above the fire. She should not have looked, but it was impossible to resist. Glancing up, her eyes caught sight of the severed head mounted where before a set of stag antlers had been nailed in pride of place. His eyelids drooped, mouth hanging slack, face so wan it barely resembled the man he had been in life. Still, it was unmistakably the head of Eskil, the head of her father. The Franks laughed again, slapping each other on the back before slumping in their seats. She ground her jaw so tight it almost cracked her teeth, squeezed the jug in so steely a grip she felt the pewter bend. All she could do was resist the urge to howl her rage at this injustice, to scream in their faces that he had been her father, that she would have her vengeance, that damnation would be too merciful a fate for them all. But they could not know who she was. Not yet. A tankard clattered noisily as it was knocked off the table. When one of the knights bent to pick it up, he slipped from his seat and landed on his arse, to the merriment of his fellows.
"This ale is damned strong," one of them shouted.
"Aye, and we need more of it," growled another.
The time was near. She felt fear churn in her gut, but pushed it down. There would be justice for her loss, and it could not wait another night. Catching Osgith's eye, she nodded, and the woman offered a wink of acknowledgement in return. Taking Begilda by the arm, Osgith made for the door at the rear of the long hall. Quietly, they bolted it behind them. Now, the only way out was the great northern entrance, double doors crafted from solid oak and bound in iron. She was alone with these killers, and the temptation to flee through those doors almost stripped her frayed nerves to naught but threads. Instead, she stood at the end of the feast table, tall and proud, as those Franks continued to holler and carouse. "My lords," she announced, but her voice lacked conviction and was ignored amid the clangour. "My lords!" This time, louder, stronger, powerful enough to quiet them, and they glared at her as though she had just insulted their precious king. Under the gaze of these ogres, she could barely catch her breath, but she could not falter now. Not so close to the end. "I would play a song for you, my lords, if it would please you, of course." A laugh of disdain from one, as another spurted ale from his mouth in amusement.